Going back to a little bit to what we were talking about just before tea, I mean, my own nature, I mean, I'm fairly sceptical. So when it comes to stories about the laws of physics being suspended around or by some guru or saint or whatever, this is really what all of these stories come down to. They come down to the suggestion that the laws of physics have been suspended. My tendency is to be quite wary of them. To say the least, my tendency is to be quite wary of them. But in a sense, it doesn't matter in a way. I mean, in terms of what we're talking about, going back again, I think it was yesterday, I was saying, one of the things that's so damned difficult about getting hold of what we're saying is, but from the point of view of the one who feels separate, there is stuff that happens out there in the real world, and there is stuff that happens in here in the real person. So if there's going to be any kind of shift or any kind of change, and in a way we have to think of enlightenment, liberation, awakening, whatever, as a shift or a change of some kind, it just seems absolutely obvious to the separate person that if there is going to be some kind of shift or change, that shift or change can only be a shift or change out there in the real world or in here in the real person. It's got to be one or the other, or perhaps both. So depending maybe a little bit on our character or our predisposition, we might be attracted to stories that it's a change out there in the world, and that somehow, for example, if we come across a guru who manifests vibhuti or manifests fake Rolex watches or whatever, you know, then this is something staggering, this has got something to do with what it is that we're looking for. You know, if we have that kind of character, that we're attracted to that, then we'll be magnetized to it, we will seek it out. If we have the kind of character that's more inclined to do what's called exploring inner space rather than outer space, then we might be more attracted to the kind of change in here represented by, I don't know, perhaps, you know, forgiving my mother and my father. It might be, or it might be more esoteric. It might have to do with opening my Ajna chakra or my Sahasra chakra, whatever. And depending on my character, I might very well be attracted to both of these things. So I might both seek to, let's say, get rid of my chakric blocks, and also go and sit with a guru who manifests fake Rolex watches. And maybe I'll feel that those two things are intimately connected. In fact, that by sitting with the guru who's manifesting vibhuti, the energy of that will have an effect on my chakras and will clear that last chakric block that perhaps is stopping me from seeing enlightenment or whatever it may be. There are, of course, 1,000, 100,000, more than that, different ways in which this assumption can manifest. I mean, in a way, I'm caricaturing. All I can do, in a way, is kind of, you know, giving some examples which may sound like caricatures. Obviously, this can manifest in many, many different ways, but always from the same inevitable, I'm going to say assumption, but it's deeper than an assumption. Always from the same way of perceiving the world, which is the way of separation, the point of separation. There's me, I'm moving around in a world that separates from me. If anything is going to transform, it can only happen through a transformation in me or a transformation in the world or both. It's impossible not to be drawn in that direction. You know, if we become interested in or excited by the whole idea of transformation in whatever way, whether it's spiritual transformation or whether it's transformation through psychotherapy or transformation maybe through creativity, perhaps through religious devotion, for example. Many, many different paths to transformation, apparently, but always it must be from the same assumption. It must be transformation in this, or transformation out there, or transformation in both. And even if I've heard these stories about there is no me, there is no person, there is no difference between in here and out there, even if I've heard those stories, they're only concepts. For the one who feels separate, separation continues. I could spend from now, you know, until 2020 reading books about non-separation. It doesn't make any difference if the one who's reading the books about non-separation feels themselves to be separate. And this is why it is such a shock to realize, when it is seen, that what we're talking about has nothing to do with any of that. It has nothing to do with transformation out there. It has nothing to do with transformation in here. I mean, it is a fact that if the person drops away, there may be transformation of the character that's left. There may be. There may be transformation of the way the world is seen. There may be. It's possible. But that's not the point. The point is that what we're talking about has to do with the disappearance of that split. It has to do with the disappearance of that dichotomy. There is no necessity for change in here. There is no necessity for change out there. That might happen, it might not happen, but there's no necessity for it, because what we're talking about is simply the disappearance of that distinction. Nothing else. The realization that in here and out there don't exist. In here and out there are the same thing, therefore they don't exist. Just as here and there are the same thing. Just as now and then are the same thing. That's the kind of the shattering of the illusion of separateness. The shattering of the appearance of separateness. You know, and that's all. There's no conditions around this, you know. There isn't a condition of holiness around this. There isn't a condition of goodness or virtue around this. There isn't a condition of leading a certain kind of life. There isn't a condition of vegetarianism even around this. This can even happen for meat eaters, not that anything happens. There's a chap called Guy Smith who wrote a book about this some years ago, and I think it's called This Is Unimaginable, and I can't remember the full title, but I think the title started This Is Unimaginable. Well, that's why it's unimaginable, because everything that can be imagined by a person has to be imagined from the position of the person. And the position of the person is separate, if you like, sitting inside this. The person is just a metaphor, but the person sits inside this. Being a person on the planet's a bit like being a passenger on an aeroplane. You know, the passenger sits inside the aeroplane, the person sits inside the world. That's why it's unimaginable. She's saying it's unimaginable may conjure up all sorts of ideas, like, you know, it's so exotic, it's so wonderful, you see colours that you couldn't even imagine, smell scents so beautiful that they will make you pass into unconsciousness. No, that's not what this is unimaginable means. It just literally means, it doesn't mean it's special, doesn't mean it's exotic, doesn't even mean it's colourful, it just literally means it's unimaginable, a person can't imagine it. And something can be very ordinary and yet a person may not be able to imagine it. The full title of that, by the book, by the way, is not "This is unimaginable and completely ordinary," but it could have been.
And unavoidable.
That's right. This is unimaginable and unavoidable. That's the full title. Yeah, that's right. But it could have been. This is unimaginable and completely ordinary. There are many things that are a great deal more extraordinary than seeing liberation. Most, if not all of them, are imaginable. They may be extraordinary, but they're imaginable because they're variations on or exaggerations of what the person experiences. I mean, surely we can imagine these flowers with little unicorn heads instead of petals. I mean, that would be extraordinary, but it's imaginable. But what we're talking about is not imaginable.
But it's unavoidable?
Yes.
In what way?
Well, wait and see. I've said before, it'll happen. I'm not saying it'll happen while the apparent psychophysical system still has an apparent future. It may or may not, but it'll happen. What I'm saying is, yes, it's guaranteed that the sense of self will collapse. Yeah, guaranteed.
I remember you referred to that as a huge loss. It's also a huge loss.
Yes.
That doesn't sound so attractive as a huge deal.
No, it's not. No, absolutely. Well, there's no gain. You could say there's only loss. There's the loss of the sense of being a person. There's the loss of the sense of ownership, if you like. Yeah. I mean, how big a loss might depend on how much you think you value the things that you believe you've done.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the end of it. It's the end of that story. Awakening particularly can be experienced as a loss. It can be devastating. It's the end of everything that I believed. Why is awakening likely to be devastating? Because it's the end of everything I believe in, yet I find myself still here. The problem with awakening, awakening can't be experienced, but let's say the aftermath of awakening can be experienced simply as loss, really. The loss of everything I believe, the loss of everything I held dear, the loss of all that money I gave to the guru and now wished I hadn't. And also the loss of this momentary glimpse of another possibility. You see, glimpsed and then gone. So, even the loss of whatever appeared in awakening. So that's why quite often, but not always by any means, awakening may lead to some despair. Liberation isn't likely to lead to despair because in liberation the fullness of everything is seen and somehow that well, I don't know what to say about it, other than the loss of everything seems insignificant there. And also, don't forget that what's seen is it's the loss of something that never really existed.
yet it feels like a loss.
It may well do, yeah. It may well do. Yeah. May depend also on how strongly addicted that particular character is to stories. Mm-hmm. The more strongly addicted the character is to stories, maybe the more of a loss. I mean, there are some characters that just kind of swan through life and don't get addicted particularly to stories. I mean, all sorts of things can happen. I think one of the things that happens is sometimes there's a waking up and there's a just kind of, oh yeah, of course. Of course. I kind of always knew that. It's just I forgot. This is often seen or half seen in childhood. So if it's seen or half seen in childhood, then it may be kind of forgotten or put aside, as it were, at least half forgotten. And then there can be a kind of a waking up, and it's just like, yeah, of course. Then it's more like a remembering, maybe. A remembering of something that was seen in the story of a person when I was 6 or 7, maybe. So for one individual, this is seen and they don't get up from the park bench for 2 years except to wee and have an occasional chocolate biscuit. And for another person, this is seen and it's like, yeah, of course. It's like there's just an immediate assent to it. Yeah, of course. And they just get on. I think for some for whom this is seen or half seen in childhood, it's like, well, what's all the fuss about? There's always been that knowing that this is a waking dream. I think it's not uncommon to come across individuals like that. What's all the fuss about?
Thank you.